Episode 71.
If you have a customer, Carm, who, let's say you're bringing your car to me and I have a 12-month, 12,000-mile warranty, and your alternator fails after 18 months, and you come back to me and you say, Chris, come on. It failed after 18 months. It's under the mileage. Am I going to tell you no? No, I'm not going to tell you no. I'm going to say, Carm, you're a great customer. I'm going to replace that alternator for you, no problem. And so if I'm going to do that, and that's the kind of business I want to run, then why not sell that value right up front?
Welcome, aftermarketers. Prepare to learn just one thing from today's episode and take action on your journey to remarkable results.
A warm welcome to Chris Price of Saratoga Shell in San Jose, California. Chris, are you ready to share your remarkable results?
Absolutely, Carm.
Hello, aftermarketers. Carm Capriato here with episode 71, along with Chris Price from Saratoga Shell in San Jose, California. Hey, I want to thank you and send my appreciation for joining me for this service professional entrepreneur interview, where listening each week provides fresh ideas that can inspire you to change or improve, if not assure you that you've got a peer that thinks like you. Lots to absorb from the evergreen archive of interviews. And if you're an Apple person, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. Now, Chris Price from Saratoga Shell in San Jose, California, who is just a stone's throw from Apple headquarters. He says that the median income in the market is $350,000 and houses start at $2.5 million. Now that's Silicon Valley. Chris is a 25-year industry veteran with three technicians with certifications of Master ASE, L1, and California Smog Check. He has a six-day-a-week business with three lifts and three bays, and his wife, April, by his side. Chris grew up loving cars and received a scholarship to UTI Phoenix and graduated with honors in 1994. He worked in GM dealerships until he went to work at a European dealership and began working on Mercedes-Benz. His Mercedes background didn't hurt when he bought the shop in 2006. Software is another passion for Chris. You can even call it love. And he helped start Kukui while in a Bible study program, and he continues to support software development with them. Our discussions touched on a new lifetime parts and labor warranty program he is going to implement. We also talked about suppliers, phone skills management, and a new vehicle inspection program he's implementing. Also learn what Chris feels is the best way to get a new customer. A solid interview from a real passionate entrepreneur. Here we go. Well, Chris, what gets you out of bed in the morning?
Man, I love to help people. I love to help shops. I love to help people. And that's really what, you know, fires me up in the morning. My family, I have four kids, and, you know, that gets me up and going no matter what. So, I mean, I would say it's just helping people, and doing great things, whether it be working on cars or building great software or, whatever it is, it's just helping.
What do you mean building great software?
Well, I mean, I've been involved in quite a few different projects in the past. Right now, I'm actually working with Kukui, and I'm actually working part of my time with them and part of my time in the shop. And we're just building great software to deliver to the automotive industry and just helping them to become successful.
So what did you want to grow up and be?
You know, that's a funny question because out of high school, I basically got a scholarship to go to UTI, and I was really into computers, so I could have went either way. I could have gone into computer science, or I could have gone into, you know, auto repair. I loved working on my bugs and my Volkswagens, and it was really cool for me. And then when I got the scholarship, it was just...
Well, okay, the money is there, so I think I'm going to walk that path, right?
Well, it wasn't about the money for me, not at all. It was more or less, it was a passion. I loved cars.
Okay.
I knew that my ultimate goal was really to work for like General Motors in the proving ground world.
Oh.
And I wanted to combine my love of cars with my love of computers.
Wow.
And just mix them. And I was really looking forward to going into telematics.
I would bet you that if Google picked up the phone right now and called you and says, hey, come on over to the autonomous car project, you jump on it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that would be a hard decision because I'm so focused on Kukui and being loyal to all of our shops, you know, that it would be really difficult. But yeah, it would be hard. But I would say that got into the dealership world after UTI and, you know, life happened and I never was able to go back to school and actually go through computer science. But somehow my path ended up crossing back into the software world in around 2010 when Kukui was founded. And I founded that with a couple of other guys.
So when did you know you wanted to be a business owner?
Wow. AutoNation was the conglomerate that basically owned the dealership that I worked for.
Okay.
And I quickly realized that having four kids and working as a tech, I probably wasn't going to make it on my own, at least, you know, financially. So I started looking down that road of, yeah, I think I want to go, you know, start my own shop or get my own shop. And I had the opportunity to buy Saratoga Shell. Saratoga Shell has been around since 1957. And so I was not even thought of at that point. So, but in 2006, I purchased Saratoga Shell, and it was a great demographic for Mercedes-Benz. That's where the dealership that I was in at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a master Mercedes-Benz mechanic. And so I jumped over into the realm of you know, having my own business and working on cars, but didn't know a huge amount about running a business, that's for sure.
Isn't that an interesting story that I hear over and over again?
Yep.
Well, we have a podcast coming out about the E-Myth. It's a video face-to-face podcast that three of my podcast alumni are going to discuss. And that's transitioning from being a great technician to being an entrepreneur, and looks like you've done that. Have you noticed a significant change in your leadership style since the first day you opened?
Absolutely. I mean, I was a technician. I had no idea how to manage people. I mean, I was a foreman at the dealership, but I wasn't a manager. And, you know, I was everybody's friend. And I quickly realized that's not always going to work. When you're running a business, you have to stay diligent about your processes and holding people accountable and all of these other things.
So give me an example of one of the big things that changed.
Well, I just realized that I can't be everybody's friend. And, you know, my customers are more important than anything. So if I'm going to serve them well, then I need to hold my employees accountable for what they do.
Chris, what's your escape?
I think my family, definitely. I love to get away with them, go to Disneyland. The second escape, maybe I like car racing.
Okay.
So in my younger years, you know, I raced a lot, have a few championships and things like that. But, you know, now I'm an old guy and a video game or two will suffice.
You're an old guy for sure. Anything special you're going to commit to do next year?
I've told our software development team that, you know, I want to visit them in Bulgaria, and I basically have committed to going to Bulgaria and learning a bit more about what our team does in the software development.
Wow, Bulgaria.
Yep.
Looking forward to that?
Absolutely. I think it'll be great.
Going to take your wife?
I'm going to try. If we can get away together, that would be awesome. But we have the three little kids, so.
Got it. Chris, what's your why?
Well, I think that, you know, the why is in my passion for the automotive industry. I love cars. I love people. And I love software. And so, you know, it just comes natural to me. I only do things that I love to do.
You bring up software so much and going to Bulgaria to see the programmers. Is that am I right in that?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Give me just without sharing any trade secrets, give me something you've worked on that you're so proud of and that helps people and helps people that work on that site.
Kukui, basically, it's overall what it is an all-in-one success platform for the automotive repair industry, for independent auto repair shops.
Sure.
And what it really does is it takes best practice information. It tracks all of the information that you say wouldn't have. Let's say, like, you want to know where your customers are calling from, what marketing source they're calling from.
Okay.
We track that information and we display it on a dashboard and we tell you, you know, you've gotten X amount of calls from, you know, Google, you've gotten X amount of calls from Yelp, you've gotten, you know, so many calls from Bing. And then you're able to track that information and know where your calls are coming from so that you can best market your business and bring those phone calls that you need. You can also record those phone calls to make sure that your service advisors are talking to the customers in a professional manner, answering the phone properly.
Is that big in the industry today?
Absolutely. I mean, we have to, you know, be making sure that we have somebody that knows what they're talking about when they answer the phone. You can't give a customer great service if you don't have somebody that can articulate to them.
So you got people, you're reaching out to get people to call you, yet what you're saying is we've got to be able to manage the experience, the interaction that the customer, the potential customer has with us.
Yeah, think of it as in you, Carm, are a brand new customer and or your car broke down and you're looking for a repair shop to take your car to. So you pick up your phone or you pick up the internet and you look up a shop and okay, one pops up and you call that shop. Well, the guy on the other end has a lot to do with whether or not you're going to bring your car in. We call that a conversion rate.
Got it.
If you call and you don't end up coming in, it actually adversely affects your conversion rate.
You won't know if the person doesn't come in?
Yeah, you will.
Oh, you will?
Because we actually track all that information because your phone number that calls in, I'll know that your phone number called in. And if you actually become a customer, then there will be an invoice attached to your phone number.
Okay.
And now, then now, we can match it.
Inquiring minds want to know. Does this only happen with a VIOP telephone system?
No. It happens with any phone.
It happens with any phone.
Happens on caller ID. So unless you block your caller ID, we can match it.
Okay. Is the phone hooked to the computer somehow?
So that's our proprietary software that we have built.
Ah, that's the magic.
That's the magic behind. We can see your incoming caller ID. It goes into our system. As soon as a phone number that matches that goes into the shop's POS system, say like RO Ryder or Mitchell or any of the others, once it goes into the system, our system then looks at that and matches the two.
Got it. Does it like pop a screen?
No, it just automatically populates into a list, and we can actually show you how much revenue that particular call generated. If you came in and you had an alternator put in your car and it was $300, we're going to show you that on that particular call, you made $300 on that call.
I know we're going off on a tangent, but I'm in charge. And
sure.
we can do this. So I call, and it doesn't turn into a sale, and you can figure that out with all your great software. Do you go back and listen to that call and do some coaching with your service advisor that maybe we should have done something different, or at least asked for an order?
Absolutely. That is the number one thing that we say in the industry is if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. So if we have a phone call, or let's say our conversion rate is dropping and we're wondering why, we go back and listed in some phone calls, and we quickly realize that, you know, Joe, our service writer, was in a bad mood that week.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Joe was having a bad week, and he was just, you know, answering the phone poorly and talking to customers, you know, just kind of getting on and getting off the phone. And you quickly go to Joe and say, hey, Joe, you know, let's help you improve this.
Very enlightening. Thanks so much. It sounds like we need to do an entire podcast on that level of detail and the benefit of doing that stuff. Mm-hmm. Chris, take us to your biggest aha moment.
There was a lot of them. There was a lot of them. One of the majors were when I went to ATI. I realized that I wasn't a business-minded person. You know, I really didn't get some of the key aspects of running a successful business. So I went to ATI and got trained, and quickly realized, hey, you know, this is really what it's about. You know, knowing where all to set all your numbers and how to best serve your customers.
So you took that leap from being a great technician to learn how to be a great entrepreneur and manager.
Absolutely.
And you practice it every day still?
Oh, yeah. You don't have a choice. Once you're in motion, man, you can't stop.
That's great. So what's your winning formula to develop your strong team?
So I look for people that are smart, that can problem solve. You know, that's the number one thing that people have a hard time with. You need to give them imperfect information and have them come up with a solution that is suitable for that particular situation.
So you're looking for people that have really good senses with logic?
That they're smart, that they can I guess they can think on their feet. They, you know, if you have a customer situation in which you have an upset customer, that person needs to be able to think on their feet, stay calm, and take care of that customer no matter what it takes. I mean,
so you're talking people skills there too.
Absolutely. Yep.
Let's talk about your suppliers. Is there anything that your supplier could do to improve relationships?
The problem with our vendors today is it's very competitive out there for them, and we make it really difficult as well, because we're trying to hold our margins. They're trying to hold their margins. But what I would say to them is that you need to stick to a business model and just stick to it. And because frequently in our position as shop owners, we will, you know, start using one vendor, and they will basically give us a pricing model when they come in, and then it'll change over time.
Oh.
And it becomes a problem for us, and not because that, you know, they are changing the pricing model so much as is that we're just not notified. So we're still trying to hold our margin, and then we quickly realize that we're not servicing our customers as best as possible. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And it disturbs me that you say model, because typical models of parts distributors don't change, but what you're really saying is their program to you does.
Yeah, I mean, the pricing structure.
Okay.
You know, they're the amount that they set up for to make. For instance, we have an account with a local parts house, and we, on regular occasion, have to basically tell them that they need a price match. We'll say, well, we're getting the, you know, this part for this much from
XYZ.
This company.
Yeah.
Can we get it for that much? And 99% of the time it's yes. But if they're saying yes all the time, then they obviously need to change their pricing structure.
I see. Live and learn from it. Do you see a trend to premium products when you offer a customer an example? Here's a value line. Here's a premium branded line. Do you see a swing to premium?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, especially in my area, we're just a stone's throw away from the Apple headquarters. You know, our median income is $350,000 a year. Houses around here are, you know, the average house price is probably $2.5 million. And yeah, I mean, we have become a five-star auto repair. We're offering value instead of a cost, or, you know, or basing our business model on cost. You know, we basically will offer you a 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty, which not many shops in the industry give.
I saw that on your website, and I have a question down here. How do you do that? Because most people I talk to, it's 224.
Yeah, and we're getting ready to move to lifetime soon. And I'll tell you why. If you have a customer, Carm, who, let's say you're bringing your car to me, and I have a 12-month, 12,000-mile warranty, and your alternator fails after 18 months, and you come back to me and you say, Chris, come on. It failed after 18 months. It's under the mileage. Am I going to tell you no? No, I'm not going to tell you no. I'm going to say, Carm, you're a great customer. Thank you very much for being a customer. I'm going to replace that alternator for you, no problem. And so if I'm going to do that, and that's the kind of business I want to run, then why not sell that value right up front and let you know? Because when I come to you and I say, hey, Carm, this alternator is $550 to put in your car, you're like, wow, that's a bit steep, Chris. And I go, yeah, I understand. And you go, well, I think Joe down the street will do it for $100 less. And I'm going to say, well, I mean, he might, but is he using quality parts? Is he going to give you a 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty on that part? You know, isn't it worth a little bit more to you to get that warranty and to make sure that you're getting a quality part and you're not going to break down?
So it begs the question, who covers the 336 as far as the part side, and or how are you going to get it covered on lifetime?
So, I mean, think about how much it cost me for that part. That part probably is going to cost me half of what I charge you for it. We typically make about 55% on the part, right?
Okay, yeah.
So a $300 alternator, I paid $150 for,
right,
or $135 for it. Okay.
I get it. Yeah.
So your business over your lifetime is worth more than $7,000,
okay,
or more maybe. My average customer is worth $7,000. Am I going to give away a $130 alternator here and there? Yes. But if I pay attention to what kind of parts I'm using and I don't use junk, then I'm not going to be eating. My warranty rate is like 0.002 or something crazy.
Your deal is not for labor, it's only for the part?
No, it's parts and labor.
Parts and labor. So you're going to do brakes for me one time forever, and I keep my car for the average of 11 years, and I got free brakes forever.
Okay, well, there are some limitations to it. We don't do it on wearable items.
Okay, all right.
So brakes, tires, anything wearable, oil changes, periodic maintenance, none of that stuff is covered under warranty.
But if you did a timing belt, I mean, timing belts wear, you would give lifetime?
Yeah, we don't. No, we don't give a lifetime on belts, hoses, those kinds of things. We don't give a lifetime on, or even 3 or 36,000 mile warranty. We do guarantee our labor for that long. So if we've installed something incorrectly, we will cover you.
Got it. Well, thanks for the walkthrough, how you're thinking and how you manage that. I appreciate that. Let's go to technicians and technician training. What's your preferred way of getting training to your techs?
So we often use Worldpac. They now have a training program. We have some local trainers here in the area that we can use as well. Through Snap-on,
okay,
we use, you know, things of that nature. We have a local, really great local automotive program called De Anza College here in the area. They actually are Toyota certified, and they have a bunch of different programs, and we utilize them a lot.
So you like leader-led versus web-based training?
Absolutely. I think it's great to be in a classroom setting for guys. It breaks up the monotony as well of being in a shop all the time in the same environment. And then you get to hear and meet people. And, you know, I think we're losing a bit of that, you know, because of the high-tech world, you know, the camaraderie, the network of guys that you have to draw from. I mean, we need that in our industry because the cars are not getting simpler. They're getting more difficult to work on.
Isn't that the truth? Do you offer a bonus for the techs if they hit so many hours of training during the year?
Not for training. Nope.
Okay.
They're required to go at least once a year. They don't really have much of a choice.
They're required to go to what? One class once a year?
One training at least once a year.
All right. It seems to be a little low compared to a lot of the interviews that I've done. Guys got about at least a 20-hour minimum. Chris, how are you finding good technicians?
Well, it's through the network of people that I know that are in the industry and have been for a long time. And so we will reach out from time to time and talk to one another. And sometimes, you know, we even trade guys.
Is that right? Now, explain that one to me.
Well, I mean, if I'm in the market for a C-Tech, okay, and another guy is basically, he's trying to phase out his C-Tech, you know, at that particular point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, you know, he gives me a C-Tech, and then later on I turn him on to an A-Tech when he needs one.
Got it. Okay. So you're working together with a group within the marketing area in Santa Cruz?
Absolutely. We recently took on another service advisor from another shop. He traded her to me, and we had her for a period of time.
Great, novel idea. Do you have any unique system that you've implemented recently that's improved your workflow?
We actually just implemented Clear Mechanic not too long ago. It's the electronic inspection platform.
Okay.
But we're getting ready to move over and try a different platform called Repair Shop Solutions.
Okay.
And then we're adding in a product called Labor Profit Management.
Is that an add-on for what, shop management?
No, it's not an add-on. It's just another product that basically controls your productivity in the shop, and you can punch in and have technicians punch in and punch off and that kind of thing.
What are the things that you do on a daily basis that brings all kinds of value to the business?
Well, I mean, if somebody needs something, they come to me and I help them overcome it right away rather than it lingering on. You know, I'm the problem solver and they just come directly to me. And that's the thing that you absolutely have to have in order to stay productive.
Do you have a daily meet or scrum with your team?
Our scrums come once a week.
Okay.
But if they need something, they know that they can come to me on a daily basis.
What's the best way to get a new customer?
Word of mouth. By far, word of mouth customers are better. They're easier to deal with. They will extend you more trust. The relationship actually just seems to develop faster than someone coming in off the street.
I hear that. I hear that almost all the time when I ask that questions. Do you see a trend to local shops versus national chains?
Not really. I mean, you do see the TGI Friday type shops, you know, come around. In California, not so much, because no one wants to do business in California, you know, so the chains try to stay out of California.
Got it. Chris, what's different on your website that truly makes you a standout shop?
Our website is clean. It's concise. It has call to action. It's a Kukui website, so it's custom. It has custom branding, which is, you know, pretty much unheard of, you know, in the, you know, it's really expensive most of the time to have a website like that built. But Kukui is able to provide that to their customers. And it helps a lot. I mean, custom branding is a really big thing for us. We're getting ready. Our branding, we want it to be synonymous with who we are. And this year we're actually giving away a car to help, you know, people become aware of our branding. We're giving away a car. Our Channel 7 News is going to come and cover it. And our mayor of our city is going to come and help us hand the keys off to the recipient. It's going to be a really great event.
And when's this scheduled for?
December 19th.
Is this going to go to a needy person?
Absolutely. We've partnered with a company called Advent Group Ministries. We became a partner of theirs. They have many group homes in our area. One of them is called The Refuge, and they helped us to qualify a recipient. And it's a lady that basically is in need. She had some alcohol abuse issues, and she lost her child, and she came from Mexico from a very poor family, so it's going to be a real privilege to give that car to her.
Good for you. How do you see technology impacting your business?
If they don't embrace technology, they will be out of business in the next 15 years. I really believe that. It's impacted my business significantly. I have a greater insight into my business, what I'm doing right, what I'm doing wrong, how to correct those problems.
Is that, do you mean data? Because you have data to react to?
Absolutely. I mean, I have data. I can measure things. You know, we have systems, software systems that allow us to measure that. All of our metrics, we call them KPIs,
yep.
Key point indexes.
Yep.
We can measure all of that. We can measure our average repair order. We can measure how much work of the work that we've recommended was actually sold, that kind of thing.
What is your deferred rate? Do you have a number?
Our preference is 50%. 50% of all the work that we find or we recommend on vehicles should actually be sold to the customer. So we should educate them, and they basically will just go ahead and understand that it's work that they absolutely have to do.
What's the shop of the future going to look like?
We call it the shop of tomorrow. We talk about this in the industry all the time. Shop of tomorrow are going to have all these really great software tools that are going to give them so much insight that all the other shops are just going to fall to the wayside.
And you're going to write most of them, right?
I hope so. Yeah, I mean, guys like Scott Osborne, Dave Justice, you know, these guys are Napa guys. And Napa's really taken, you know, steps to get their shops, you know, that little edge that they need in order to be successful.
Chris, where do you see yourself in the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, hopefully my shop is basically set up to run itself. I'll be an absentee owner, and I'll be building all the great software programs that you see coming out.
Cool. So Chris Price, Saratoga Shell, San Jose, California. Chris, Give us some great words to live by.
I would say that treat everyone with respect. Treat your customers as if they were your brother, your sister, your mother. You know, extend them the courtesy of being their friend rather than just being the guy that fixes their car.
Chris Price, thanks a ton.
Absolutely.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.